Off the Ball Rugby.
Like him or loathe him, he's been great for the game. He brings in energy and I couldn't believe it. On Saturday night I came home, my son was wearing all white and he had like tape, like a Pollock hat around his legs. I was like, what's happening here?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
In the meantime, Vinny, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are we doing?
I'm actually not well today.
Hey, lads. I discovered this.
This is a new thing, I think, as you get older. I went out for a run on Sunday and I had to do the walk of shame, I've called it.
You pulled something?
It's just something. I've had a bit of a problem in hip flexor and glute. And do you ever have to walk home in your running gear? It feels like everybody's looking at you. What is, I'm calling
You're
it
a different
walk
type of walk of shame from your 20s.
I was heartbroken. You know, every car that went past, I was gone, they're judging me.
Yeah. Because you're no longer running, you're limping.
Yeah, and you're in the wrong gear, and it looks like they're going, he's just failed.
How far did you run?
I got about a kilometre and a half. It was a good 10-minute walk back.
Right.
A busy road.
You know, do not go gently into the good night. Rage against the dying of the light. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Did you try and keep going, or did you just...
Oh, I did, yeah.
Making it worse.
The only thing that fixed it was, you know, that dry needling. I tried that and it fixed it. It was...
What is it?
Yeah, you know, like...
Type of acupuncture.
Yeah, acupuncture.
Oh, right, okay.
Dry needle. It was really good. And that was just before Christmas and I just felt it. And it wasn't at the start. I was too far in and I was like, oh no. And then you try and run it off.
Yeah.
You're committed to this fitness malarkey?
Not really. The best way to explain to you is I used to... All the athletes that come in here, they sort of eat so they can train at their maximum. That's the modern nutritionist would tell you now. So now I train so I can eat. So Stevenson's Day, I've done a 7K run.
Right.
But then I put everyone them calories onto a dinner plate. So it's just to stay level.
Yeah.
That's all.
Striking a balance.
Yeah, just to stay level.
Whoop tells you your age. I don't know if you have
No, I don't have Whoop.
It can go in shite as far as I'm concerned in terms of the age thing.
It just calculates the amount of physical activity you're doing.
So it over-indexes for strength training, which as viewers of the show will know, I do none. So
did it?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
But looking after yourself when particularly ex-athletes as well. Or it wasn't an athlete or semi-professional people. It's amazing that the first few years people go, they're like, you just blow up. And then you've got to, your brain kicks in. And it's like that thing of when you're out for a run, say you run 5K in 26 minutes. All of a sudden you want to do 25 and a half. And then you just get obsessed by it. Yeah. And then it becomes a thing.
You're doing stuff on your own. Would you, as somebody who come from a team sport, not benefit from being in a group? Or?
Yeah, it's probably the biggest thing. It's probably the biggest thing I would say that, yeah, that's what you... I was chatting to a lad, James Keddy, I don't think he'd mind me saying, played League of Orange Shelbourne, really decorated player. He's coached in that. And it was after Shamrock Rovers and... Derry, the game the other night, he was working with Derry Radio and we were working News Talk. And the two of us just said, you know, we were chatting about the game and different things. And the last line we said to each other, yeah, do you miss this? I miss the dressing room. Both of us said the same thing. And it's the same thing as training. When you do like a class, maybe with a group of people, doesn't matter. They can be all sizes, ages, different things. It's that thing. And I probably don't do enough classes actually. Or structured stuff to keep yourself going. So training on your own is, it's not the same, but that's what you do miss.
It's just the social aspect, is it?
Yeah, it's like team environment, particularly full time. Like I was sitting at, no matter what ground it is, but last Sunday week I was at Forest and Brighton and I'm sitting there and I'm watching the players because it was in really early and I'm sitting there watching Forest players come out. And they're all chatting on the pitch. And you're thinking to yourself, they've been together since the night before in a hotel. They probably trained on Saturday morning, went down on a bus, went to a hotel, all meals together, got up, had their breakfast together, and they're still laughing and joking on a pitch. And when you when you take that away from anybody, it's bloody tough for people. And some people will deal with it a lot easier than others. Rugby's obviously so much better at dealing with that stuff, but in soccer, they're absolutely not.
I think rugby isn't as good now as it was even 10 years ago. Talking to somebody who was with the team recently and was like very surprised at how little of the stuff that this group are doing compared with previous groups and, you know, all that work experience that they would have done. You had some of that as a manager, but it's not the same, or you were team and you were part of your team.
Remember, vast majority of my coaching was assistant manager. So that's the holy grail for me, but depending on what your type of manager you have, but that's the holy grail where you're still...
You're the interface between...
And my character...
dropping people.
Remember, Dane Massey got left out one time. We were doing a warm-up and I walked over to him in front of everyone and went, if I was the gaffer, he'd be playing today. Everybody laughs. It's a joke. Dane then goes, he was like, so...
Stephen Kenny wasn't laughing.
No. And so there's a moment for all of them things where you can be the sort of the rod and stuff like that. So that's probably the happy medium. But it's a saying I have when I speak to players or any team I coach, or and it's hard to say. It's like an old fart saying to you, like, enjoy school. Like, do you know what I mean? Go away. Leave me alone. I hate school. But then when you stop, but it's the same thing. When the lights go out for anybody that's played sport, particularly at decent level, it is tough. It's really tough.
We actually have a new series that Brian O'Driscoll is doing coming out soon enough about the difficulties that people have integrating back into civilian life from elite sport.
And before you move on, what people don't get is those little jokes that you think are funny because 20 lads on a bus together or 20 lads in a hotel together or on a plane, even your family don't think they're funny, or your good mates don't think they're funny.
No, because they're not in on the joke.
You know, the thing of going out when you were younger, like with your mates on the way to college, and you'd only have X amount of it's you around. You go out with a team of footballers and you might spend a tenner. You might go out the next week and drop 300 quid because everybody's just, we're in this together type of mentality. And it's strange that when that goes on for 10 or 12 or 20 years of your life, it did in my case, when it stops, then you're gone.
My last thing, that sometimes all that togetherness is really important, but about the fitness aspect of it, I do often wonder if it's actually the coaching that you miss the most, that it's not just the fact that there's a group of you all doing the same thing. There's somebody telling you what to do. You need to go and do this. And I'm monitoring your level of fitness specifically.
Yeah, and there's an element of...
You just need a personal trainer.
Yeah, there's an element of... a lot of young people need that structure in their life. So where I go on a... I've gone on a few rants here. I'm not going to do it now again. I've done enough of them. Where I can stand in the field and talent now, and I can see, for example, I can see Robbie Keane's house, right? I can see Richard Dunn's house. I can see Stephen Bradley's house. When I say I can see them, as in they're touchable.
Yeah.
Stephen Kenny's... my own house, someone like Graham Gartland, I can see the Hoyland brothers, boxers. I can see people who've, and I can also see people I went to school with or know of at different things growing up, who are no longer around for different reasons, who are probably who are locked up on different things, see people with problems. And that's why I see sport as such an opportunity as a social issue to fix these things. So when people get to a really good level that may have tendencies to be something else, the structure of football, the structure of you've got to be in at 10 o'clock in the morning, you've got to be sober, you've got to be all of these things is huge for them. And that's why when I stand in that field or I drive past that field, what actually drives me off the chart mental is there's still zero facilities in that field. So at one stage with the Ireland manager, Jim Crawford, I can see house from there. The Ireland under 21 manager, League of Ireland winning manager, and Stephen Bradley. As I said, Dunn. There's people, other players have played the Premiership living in that same facility. And there's still nothing there after all them years. There's still nothing. There's there has to be something wrong with society if nobody has realised that sport, not for everyone, is an opportunity to change society in areas like that. And for people to know, that's a field in Talla. And it is like, and it's just bizarre the amount of money that's being wasted on other things where there's still not a proper AstroTurf pitch in that facility. And it's probably 60 acres of grass you could stand on. We must go out there one day and actually put a photograph to this.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can see these people's houses. You're talking about people who have changed their life. Like, it changed. I grew up in Killinarden. I've said this before. Late 80s, early 90s, and heroin ripped through. Me and my mates were never going down that route, but doesn't, like, people, it did.
Yeah.
And, like, the likes of Richie and Robbie done it, not because of what was there, they done it despite what was there. You know, Bradley, I said, Graham Gartland, Jason Gavin played Middlesbrough in the Premier. There's so many players. So, and take that to a really extreme level. If we went around to all the schools in that area tomorrow and went, we'll take the best under 8, 9, 10 year olds, and we got 20 of them every year on a bus, and they met in a central location, they got a little bit of food, a bit of homework, and they went from 8 to 9 to 10 to all the way up. I would say out of them 20 players, 10 to 15 would play League of Ireland, and 3 or 4 of them would be Irish under 17, 18, 19 internationals. And if you repeated that through the way rugby has done that with their school structure, it's easy, and it's an opportunity to change 20 people's lives as well.
Well, and then all their families and their wider families and their inspiration to the community and the community coming to watch the games, and all of a sudden, you know, that's
a... And I think that's replicated in a lot of these type of areas. You go into inner city Dublin, Troy Parra, Kelly Harrington.
Yeah.
You know, you can replicate this throughout Chris Forrester's. They're all within reason of each other, and it's sport is, I know we're on a sport show, but the next time I come in here and I see one of the ministers for sport or something, I'm just kind of putting my headlock and just drag them in here and have the discussion, because they don't give you the answer you need, or they give you a little bit of tokenism, but it is so easy to do, and it's not an expensive fix. Like that field, honestly, guys, that field I'm talking about, or two fields, hasn't, it's a swimming pool, great facility, grand, but it should be a hotbed for sport. Has to be.
Yeah.
You see the campaign to save the pitch in Sheriff Street, and that's great, but like, it needs a campaign, you know, it needs an Olympic gold medal winner, it needs our most famous striker at the moment to back it up. And it, I don't know why we haven't quite cottoned on to this. I wonder, is it because sports organisations are pitted against each other, that it's a zero sum game, that there's only a set amount of money, so I'm going to take that and I'm going to take that, as opposed to, actually, if we just all work together here, we'd make the case for more money for everybody. I don't know.
But you look at, there's a place near the Nace Ball called Cardiffstown, and I think the council, it was all wasteland, put 2 AstroTurf pitches on it. I know people who coach soccer teams and golf teams around there. You cannot get a booking on that.
Because it's so busy.
So busy.
Yeah.
So build it and it'll come. But what you're also seeing then is from 5 o'clock in the winter, when everything is off, from 5 o'clock till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, you're seeing 40 and 50 and 60 and 80 kids out and about doing stuff. So you have to learn from that.
Yeah.
And that has to be replicated, particularly in the areas where, and I'm allowed to say because I'm from there, areas of
disadvantage
yeah. where, I mean, that field I'm talking about, everyone will know the story. I can also see the little that people went and destroyed. Now, I go against the grain. I don't believe just because there's nothing to do, it's okay to destroy the little that time. But I'm just making the point. There is opportunities there in them areas to do the wrong things, and people will still do them.
Yeah.
But create an environment of the other way, where people can do elsewhere, and sport's brilliant for that.
We're just having some difficulties with the sound on a couple of our platforms. I'm not sure if it's actually working on the app or not, but certainly on YouTube, people are complaining about the sound. So we will try and get that fixed as soon as possible. In the meantime, last night you were at the Talca Park 2-2 draw between Shells and Rovers, so you missed what was going on in the FA Cup. An equal 2-2 draw after extra time, goes to penalties. Commentators curse like, oh, Caoimhín Kelleher is the man, he's the greatest penalty saver in the history of Liverpool Football Club, so this is his time to shine. And he did go the right direction for all the penalties he faced, but unfortunately nobody kicked it right at him in the way that Ouattara did against West Ham, and he tried a Panenka, and it was, you know, a terrible Panenka.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was, well, like...
all Panenkas that the keeper saves,
yeah, exactly,
are terrible,
yeah,
right? But
yeah,
some of them have a bit more pace on them.
His would have looked really nice if it went in. Like
I think even if the keeper had dived, it was so slow that he still would have the opportunity to jump back up and catch it. But anyway, obviously...
It was a bizarre decision considering Areola had chosen to stand earlier in the game for the penalty, which went in anyway, but he had stayed in the middle and Thiago had hit it down the middle, but he put a good bit of power on it. So it was a bit of a bizarre decision to go and do that again, knowing that there's a decent chance that he will just stand there. But yeah, I mean, they're knocked out, Brentford, but it doesn't feel like a really bad thing for Brentford. Like, maybe they get to focus on the Premier League a bit more now.
I think the FA Cup final was opened up for that tie last night. Yeah, with the draws at the opening up for teams a little bit. City, Liverpool, you've avoided City, Liverpool and Arsenal in the next round. I think Keith would have seen that as an opportunity of...
Leeds at home.
Leeds at home.
It's not, even if it was Leeds away, you'd be like, oh...
He doesn't need to do it this season, I suppose. That's the thing. Like, there's no pressure at all. Like, obviously, it would have been great, but, you know.
I think that's the point, isn't it? Next season, there will be pressure and he won't be able to pick his own team.
So that this is an interesting one. Like, I mentioned Everton there last week on the show. They're only 3 points behind them. It's a little bit like, is Keith's pressure going to come on him next season for me? Like, how you finish a season can sometimes drag into next year for teams. I'm not suggesting he's under pressure, he's just got a new contract, etc. But something like winning an FA Cup or getting to a final might have just helped you to start a next season if things didn't go really well. Because at that level, you're always on the edge of, you're halfway to something and nothing, it feels like. So I just hope they finish the season really well for him. I know they're sitting where 7th. But he could just easily be 12 to 13 come the end of the season.
Totally.
Which is still success for him in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. There was criticism of Marco Silva yesterday, which I totally understand, of you're not going to do... It's unlikely you're going to qualify for Europe. It's not that unlikely, I suppose. If they were to go on a run in the league, they could easily finish in a place, depending on, you know, 5, 6, 7, get Conference League football. But I wonder, are people looking at Palace and going, I don't want... We pretend that we want European football, but we get European football, our best players get taken, we can't actually replace them, and then next season there's a relegation struggle.
Yeah.
Is there a world in which Marco Silva doesn't actually want to win the FA Cup? That he'll be bonus more on Premier League finishing anyway.
I think as Palace, as like Tottenham fans, did he enjoy winning the European trophy that day?
Yeah, the fans, yeah. But the fans aren't picking the team.
Like the Tottenham manager lost his job after winning the trophy, European trophy.
Yeah.
Obviously the fans want to win, right? I get that. But I do think that the managers are like, this is more hassle than it's worth.
But I felt Palace had an opportunity to build on the cup and I thought they were about to.
Yeah.
But something else has gone on there and there seems to be an internal, like Glasner's doesn't want to be there almost, and he wants the club to spend more than maybe they can. And you know, Palace, can they really take on the mites of the sort of top 6, 7, 8? Probably can't really when it comes to, they're still, you've got to cash in with your best players.
Totally. Well, if they kept Eze and kept Michael Olise, I think that they could be in the Champions League 5th. They could be in the race for 5th now, but obviously the club decided they didn't want to do that, and at that stage the club ownership was a bit of a mess. We'll come back to Stephen Bradley and Joey O'Brien a little bit later on, because I know you were at the game. The atmosphere sounded amazing from my back garden last night. I was like, oh shit, I should have gone to this.
It was really good atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Particularly the first
25 minutes.
25 minutes was a brilliant game. And then probably both teams and managers said, well, I had enough of this, you know, you know, tighten up a little bit. There was an element of that. I thought it was a winner for somebody, and that would have sent either end wild. Like, there was a, what, there was a thousand Rovers fans, and I think Tallaght Stadium can be a little bit quiet at times, I guess, stick for saying that, but the away fans were brilliant, and they are brilliant. It's often the way, the same when you go to any game.
Yeah.
And they make a really, nearly, sometimes Tallaght's nearly too big for certain games.
It's very open. It feels very open when you're there, whereas, you know, every other park in the League of Ireland is just on top of, you're on top of each other. So
now, when the big games come, it is, but the difference with, say, a Dalymount or a Richmond Park or Talcott now, and they've just almost got the sign off to open up the old stand, which used to hold their sort of ultras, for want of a better word. That'll make a huge difference at back of the ground. But atmosphere last night was really class. Really for a Monday night, really,
and
really strong.
Derry next Monday night, so they've Derry on Friday, and then they Bowes on Monday, so
it was a much needed point for them here.
Yeah, when they were 2-0 up, you're like, okay, they might actually be able to clean in the title race here. Anyway, I want to play you this because Henry Winter was on yesterday, and we were obviously speculating about the Spurs situation, which we'll speak with Donald Kilpatrick about at around about 9:10 this morning, and we were making the point to him that, you know, somewhat facetiously, Harry Redknapp might win the Gold Cup on Friday and then be in the dugout by the time Sunday rolls around. And who better than Robbie Keane to be alongside him? Here's what Henry Winter had to say.
This is slightly crazy, but I did think that, I was joking earlier, that Harry wins the Gold Cup on Friday and is in the dugout by Sunday afternoon. Maybe the international break is the bit where you get Harry in and you say, okay, but we bring somebody in with them who will actually be the manager if we get relegated. But Harry is...
Steve Staunton.
Well, I was thinking more Robbie Keane. That Harry and Robbie Keane got on very well. That, like, Robbie comes and is his second in command until the end of the season. And then if they stay up, whatever happens, happens. But if they go down, that Robbie takes them next season in the Championship. And everybody's relatively happy with that managerial plan while the board suddenly face the opprobrium from the fans.
But this is a very arrogant English Premier League approach, which you've been sucked into, that we can immediately play chess with other people's chessboards. And Ferenc Faros, I think, might have a word to say about that. It wouldn't surprise me if Robbie Keane was head coach at Tottenham Hotspur at the start of next season.
So that was Henry Winter yesterday, right?
You got sucked into that Englishness, Jer.
I did, yeah. The arrogance of playing chess with Ferenc Faros. Now, you do look at the next manager odds, right? And
check Palace's, Ger.
Yeah, Robbie Keane is coming up. Next Spurs manager, Pochettino is the favourite. Robbie Keane is the second favourite. But when it comes to Crystal Palace, the favourite is Robbie Keane at 7-4. Thomas Frank is 4-1 that they think he'll recover and come back. Sean Dyche is 5-1. Gareth Southgate's 12-1. But Robbie's a short price.
Yes.
Favourite for that's not a million miles away from the same price that Michael Carrick is at the moment.
So we if I mention this bloody pro licence one more time on the show, but done my pro licence with Robbie as well, he was part of that gang. And he's gone off and done the hard yards, whether people like it or not. Now, I know there was this stuff around Stephen Kenny took over and he was still being paid by the FEI, and there's two sides to that. I think his side has basically got no communication from the FEI. Nobody reached out to him in any way, shape or form, and it became a mess that nobody wanted to fix. So I think that annoyed a certain amount of the soccer community. Fine. Robbie's obviously, like, I mean, his goals and what he'd done as a player for us was huge. But he went off, like, at that time when we were doing the pro license, he was assistant manager Jonathan Woodgate at Middlesbrough. He went over there, spent some time there. You could tell he's doing the hard yards. He was living away from home. He was obviously Ireland assistant or coach, whatever the right word, just previously there. He'd done some work at Leeds as well as assistant manager, but then went to Israel. We know that that's upset another certain amount of people. But on the football pitch, and someone has to say the facts, on the football pitch, he'd done a really good job there. They had a little bit of success in Europe, won a league title. He's gone to Ferencváros, just about got it out. He's done really, really well there. He's had a lot of good success in Europe. And from English eyes, they would see his progression. They would see he's done hard yards. They would see he's ticked a lot of boxes. He's won trophies. And Robbie's definitely going to manage in the Premiership next year. And if I had to place one of those bets, I'd go with Palace. I expect him to be in charge of a club next year. And whether people like it or not, he deserves his crack at it because he's done the hard yards. I mean, we speak so highly here locally about, say, someone like Duffer. But in English eyes, what Duffer's done compared to Robbie is not the same.
No.
Whether people like that or not, that's the fact. So there will be some noise around Robbie, probably online. People listening to us will have a problem with certain things. But I hope he gets a crack of a Premiership club, and I look forward to seeing it. I expect him to be in charge of someone like Palace at the start next year.
If you were in his inner circle, would you be suggesting that now is the time to try and get on the Spurs radar? Or because that Spurs job, somebody's going to make a success of it.
This is the interesting thing, that when we sit here and we speculate about, someone might say, you're better off wait for Spurs and take it at the right time. Might just never come.
That's it, yeah. You miss your window with
and
Palace.
And you always believe in yourself as well. Whether it's whatever you do in life, you think you can make a difference. If Spurs come up, it feels like Spurs player for player have better players than Palace, I would say.
And yeah, financially, they will be better in the long run. So there's a possibility the Spurs go down, right? But in three seasons, they'll still be bigger than Palace are, because they're not going to go down again. They're going to find the Championship relatively straightforward to come back up. And then there's a bit of success and a bit of momentum.
I can understand why someone in Spurs would think signing Robbie's too big of a jump. We need somebody a little bit more.
Yeah,
I understand that.
They did take a chance on Patrick Vieira that time as well. Like, he wasn't really
Palace.
Yeah, like, he wasn't a hugely proven
Palace
manager.
Yeah, no. Yeah, sorry, there's a lot of stuff between Palace and Robbie that would link each other together in terms of the connections there. And people might say Paddy McCarthy. No, not Paddy McCarthy, but, you know, agencies, people you work with, people. So there's a lot of stuff, I would say. But when it comes to Spurs, I think there's a lot of people in Spurs probably feel they need a bigger name at the moment to sort out the club. And he may not have, like, if he had a good year at Palace, you could see him ending the Spurs. But that's the advantage of Robbie, and it went well at Palace.
Yeah.
But if Bolton came along at the exact same time and he had two contracts on either side of the table, it would be hard for anybody with a football background to turn down Spurs.
Yeah. But you actually do think that this is a realistic, not just realistic, but more likely than
more not. More likely, I think Robbie will be managing in the Premiership over the next 12 months, absolutely.
I actually hadn't noticed over the last few weeks that he'd drifted into being the short price favourite for the Palace.
I didn't know that, but I expect Palace, there you go. Palace, for me, need a new manager. Robbie's done all the hard yards. There's a section of Irish soccer I would have a view of Robbie. I think they're wrong. I know him within reason, personally. Some of his family. Yeah, he's done the hard yards. Why do these people like De Zerbi and all of these people come on people's radars? It's not what they do, it's what they do at clubs lesser than Brighton, lesser than
De Zerbi's CV was eclectic, to say
and Robbie's gone to lesser leagues, yes, but he's gone and been successful with them. He knows how to win trophies. He's proved that he's done okay in Europe. For them, he's been very successful. In English football terms, he's just done okay. But yeah, he deserves a crack at it.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.